Hello, everyone. Good morning, afternoon. This is the Queen's Club call. So if you're on this call, you are a member of the Queen's Club and you are ready for some Queen's Club coaching and want to raise your hand. So here's how this call works. Anybody can attend. This is for people. So the Queen's Club is anyone who's lost 25 pounds or more. So that means that you've joined No BS and either you were listening to the podcast and you lost 25 pounds and you're coming in, or you joined No BS and you lost 25 pounds. So I don't care if you lost your weight through anything. I always think every pound counts to get into Queen Club. Then you fill out a form on our website. Then you come on over and you get the perks of being in the Queen's Club. You will get access to our private Facebook group where the Queen's Club people chat. You get a special call with me each month where you can just raise your hand. There is no appointment needed and we just go. So I've got some people with their hands up and we will get started. Lisa Mello, you're first. Good morning to everyone. And Yesenia is in the chat. And she will also be in Q&A. So if you have questions, please feel free to pop them over into Q&A. Let's see. Lisa Mello, are you ready? Lisa Mello said, all right, Lisa Mello, it says you're declining to be promoted. So make sure you lower your hand. Sarah, everybody check. If you don't want to be called on, you have to lower your hand. So look at your phone, look at your laptop. Make sure your little hand is lowered. Lisa, I'm going to lower your hand. There you go. All right. All right, Sarah, what are we coaching on?
Hey, oh gosh, I'm so nervous. And I'm going to be a little emotional.
Okay.
I have this belief that if I'm with a man, if, you know, a partner, that I'll gain weight. And if I break up with someone, then I'll lose weight. And that's kind of been my pattern, is that I'm with the wrong man and I end up gaining weight. And then I break up with him and I go into this, you know, got to get myself on the market and losing weight. And I don't know if I'm with the right man now or not, but it feels like it maybe not. And my weight has stalled for a while. So that's, I'm not sure how to put my circumstance in one sentence, but that's where I'm coming from.
So let me ask you this. When you are with a man, how many of them have tied you down and force fed you food?
Zero.
So your brain is making an irrational connection that when you're with someone, that's why you gain weight.
Yeah.
Why do you think you actually gain weight? Let me just say this. Everybody, I totally forgot to announce the winners for the thing. I actually have them. We are going to email Yesenia, tell everybody. We're going to post in Facebook and we need to just email everyone. I totally forgot to do it. So sorry. Everybody, like, I'm getting so many messages like, who won the prizes? All right. So tell me, if you had to guess, why did you gain weight when you were with someone?
When I'm with someone, I know it's all me. I have temptations like at his
house. This is the thing. You don't know it's all you, or you wouldn't have come in here saying, when I'm with a man, I gain weight. And when I'm without one, I lose weight.
Okay. When I'm with a man, like the current one, we've been together for about a year. Foods at his house, like I have a clean house. I know it's just a thought, but my house doesn't have processed foods and stuff like that. And I eat on my own. But when I'm at his house, he has processed foods and he eats a lot more than I do. And I, but more than that, I think I eat when I'm unhappy in the relationship.
First thought is it's his fault.
It's not his fault.
It is when you tell me this, when I ask you for your reason, it's like, well, here's the reason. I'm going to give it to you in a sexy bow, Corinne. At his house, there's processed food.
I choose to eat foods that are bad for me at his house.
Are they bad for you?
I choose foods that are good, but not better or best. I choose foods. But
are you hungry when you're eating them?
It's hard to admit, but I think I eat foods at his house as a way to buffer with my unhappiness of being there.
Okay. That's what we want to get to the root of. That's why I was pushing you. I know this is emotional for you, but it's real. Like when you say it's hard to admit, this is the reason why it's hard to admit is because now it's not his fault. Now it's my responsibility. It's my responsibility to know that if I'm eating out of integrity with myself, something's going on. And what's going on is the food is distracting me from this is not my person. And maybe he is your person. We don't know 100%. But we won't know for sure if we keep eating and thinking that my real problem is I'm gaining weight because he keeps processed foods at his house and those are bad for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I really want to more than that, break the mentality that I have to break up with him in order to lose weight. I think that's bullshit.
No, this is what happens. Probably what happens is I want to present this to you. And when you listen, I want you to pay attention to what your body does. Does it feel like, wow, that resonates? Or is it like, not really what's happening? When you're with a man and things are happening and you're eating, you're distracting yourself from whether or not you really like them or not. So you eat out of integrity with yourself to avoid, you know, maybe painful realizations, the truth of the relationship, things like that. When you're not with a man, it's very easy for you to focus on what your true needs are. Because you don't have the distraction of like wanting to stay in a relationship that may not be good for you and things like that. What does that do when I say that back to you? How does that feel?
Yeah, it just feels like it's another all or nothing time that I'm setting up for myself. Like it feels right. Because when you said that, I just realized, well, I'm eating at my house alone. When I'm not even in his house, I'm eating asshole food because I'm buffering. It's not even at his house. I haven't even been there for a while.
So one of the things that we want to unwind is this association that if I'm with someone, the only alternative is to gain weight. And if I'm not with someone, that's when I can lose weight. And that's not really what's happening. It's that when you are not with someone, you're not challenged to stay in integrity with yourself. It's like, it's easy when I'm not with somebody, but when I'm with someone, that's when I have to learn how to listen to my truest needs and be honest with myself. And that's just true for every human. So it doesn't have anything to do with the man or whether you're single or not. It just has everything to do with you getting better at just treating yourself the way you want to treat yourself and not avoiding. And part of treating ourselves the way we want is also making decisions about who we put into our lives, who we keep into our lives. That's a big, big component of how we treat ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really trying to separate whether I'm like with someone or not, like separate that from weight loss and everything.
Yeah, they just like, this is the simplest way to think about it. They absolutely have nothing to do with each other because there's only one person that controls my hand and my mouth. I'm the common denominator. No matter what relationship I'm in, if I'm with a child, if I'm with a parent, if I'm with a mate, no matter what, the one thing I know that I control is whether or not food enters my mouth. That has nothing to do with relationships. Now, I might choose to put food in my mouth to distract myself when a relationship's going south, but that is a much better story to tell yourself. Like, oh, what's really going on here is I'm eating because I'm not happy here. It's easier to eat than it is to, you know, break up with someone, or it's easier to eat than it is to say like, hey, we got a good thing going, but to keep it going, here's my emotional needs. Eating will always be easier than conversations, but eating doesn't improve our relationships.
Right. Yeah, I think my takeaway is that it's just my brain trying to make sexy talk out of the decision whether or not to eat. And I mean, and what to put into my body and how to treat my body. The whole like stuff of relationship is just sexy talk.
Mm-hmm. It's really all that's going on. I would just from now on just notice. Like, it's nobody's fault. I'm either eating how I want to eat for myself, or I'm not eating for how I want to eat for myself. But that will always be on me, because otherwise, if the only way for you to, like, let's say, like, your goal is to weigh X amount of pounds, and you set it up in your brain, the only way to weigh X amount of pounds is to be single. Then you may also want, like, we have to set it up to where you can win.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly it. It's easier for me to make myself a victim with two bad choices than to do the work and figure out a way to win.
There is a way for you to lose your weight and be with someone you want to be with.
Yeah.
In fact, if you really want to be with someone, like if someone is your lobster, you know, I'm always talking about somebody being the lobster. It's just like with Chris, you know, like most of the relationships I ever had, I also gained a lot of weight in them because I dated asswipes. It was no wonder I was eating my way through them because I was trying to figure out like how to keep them and like how not to lose them. Because I thought that I was a loser and that I would never have anybody. So yeah, I was eating my face off the whole time. Then when I met Chris and like, I really loved him and started like, I don't know, just realizing my worth was different. I realized like I can be my best self with this person. And now I get to decide who my best self is. Most of the people I dated before him, I never thought I could be my best self with them. I thought I was just trash. Something was wrong with me and I'd be lucky to have anybody. So I would just find anybody. I was never thinking about my best self. I was very consumed with finding someone who would love me at like this. And I had a very big working definition of what this was, and this was not great. So just think about like who you are as your best self, who you really want to be. Identify that, like fall in love with you right now. And then go out and you will know if these people are in, you will not need to eat over them.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a great guy too. I mean, it's not about him. This is helpful. And I know watching the replay will help me a lot too. That my takeaway is getting rid of the sexy talk, that it's about a man. It's really about me and finding a way to win.
Mm-hmm. And was this one of the things too, if you will clean up, this is one thing I want you to watch out for is a self-sabotage thing. If you really keep hanging on to the story that especially if you really want to lose your weight, that the only way to lose weight is like only when you're single, that having someone in your life just means automatic weight gain and you can't stand yourself when you are like heavier and stuff like that, you will sabotage relationships to get back to there. So when you kind of separate all that out and you kind of, you work on like, who is my best self? Like, who do I want to be? I take full responsibility. Like, I should be able to go into anybody's house and they could have a cream puff factory sitting in the middle of their living room. That does not mean I have to eat. It means I have decisions. When you do that, then like all of a sudden you see your relationships a lot more clear.
That's good.
I just want to make sure, like, I don't know, like, I'm not advocating you ditch this guy. I don't know enough about your relationship. All I'm saying is before you make your decision, just make sure you've been seeing it with clear glasses on.
Yeah.
That you're not getting rid of him because you're like somehow deep down, like you make me fat. And every time I go over there, I eat bad foods. And like, you know, like that's more of the collection of you're wrong for me. Just give yourself the gift of really owning that the weight loss is yours and no one else's.
Yeah. Yeah, it can happen whether I'm with someone or not. It's all mm-hmm. mine. Yeah, that's good. Okay.
All right. Good luck,
Sarah. Thank you so much. Thanks for yesterday, too. Really appreciate it. And all your team.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. We had a good time. They all loved it. Bye. Hey, Yesenia, do this for me. Y'all don't have to post in Facebook. I'll go live in Facebook to announce the winners just so that we actually have it live. I just totally blanked on that last call. I did not have it up as a note. And if mama don't have a note, mama doesn't get it done. Yvette? Oops, sorry. I unmuted you at the same time that you were unmuting. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, everyone. I just want to say that I did ask a question in Q&A, but I just feel like I could use some coaching from Corinne today. I lost about 35 to 40 pounds from last year. And I think what I'm struggling with is this idea of signing up for a lot of programs and different, you know, self-development things and a lot of things around the NoBS too. You know, I mean, I signed up for the DSB, I signed up for just a lot of things like that. But I think I'm just doing all these things, trying to make me feel not anxious, because every day I write down on my planner a list of things I want to do from the morning to the finish.
Okay.
And I just feel like, I do those things out of a lot of obligation, a lot of pressure for myself. And I have become, well, I think I start to feel like the pressure and the guilt or even sometimes the shame of not doing those things are necessary in my life to keep it going.
Why do you want to keep things that aren't necessary?
I think that they are necessary because they helped me to lose lose a lot of weight last year. But I feel anxious.
About what? What are you feeling anxious about?
I just feel that I'm signing up for a lot of programs, and I do a lot of great do exercise every day and trying to eat right. But if I don't, but even on the during the times that I don't exercise or when I'm not eating, I'm still thinking a lot about, you know, what more can I do in this day to lose more weight? Or
do you want to lose more weight?
I want to lose at least 8 pounds more. It's not
because we coached. We've already coached once on wanting to lose those 8 pounds.
You remember me? I hope you didn't recognize me.
I remember you. You're worried about the Chinese women and their body type and all this other stuff.
Yeah, it was me, even though I'm wearing a different shirt.
Let me just say this. I may forget to call out the winners, but very often I remember, like on the last call, I remember Lisa Wolf's always wanting to get coaching them damn nursing charts.
I have a very good memory
for weird things. All right. So then let's go back to the fundamentals. We're feeling anxious. You are doing like classes and stuff. All right. That's where your think, feel, do cycle is centered. What we haven't figured out yet is the thought causing the anxiety. We know what you're doing because of it. We know how you're feeling. What are you afraid of, Yvette?
I think I'm afraid of two things. One thing is I'm afraid of gaining the hard work. You know, I put in a lot of hard work to get to where I am. And I'm afraid that if I'm not careful enough, I'm going to gain some weight back. And the second thing is, you know, it's summer and now I'm going out in Vancouver in Canada and everyone is very fit. I don't know why. Like this city is filled with very...
That is not true. Let me just tell you, your brain is right now very focused on your 8 pounds, that you need to lose 8 more pounds, and that like you're looking for evidence. Otherwise, I wouldn't have so many Canadian clients. Everyone is so fit, but Yvette.
Yeah, I do see some not so fit people, but I see a lot of people who are more slim.
Because that's what you're looking for. Now, that doesn't mean I want you to start looking for overweight people. What I want you to do, though, is see that your brain is looking outside of you and then driving you crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not looking at you right now and learning how to look at yourself with love, compassion, pride. You've lost a bunch of weight and you're not even feeling successful.
Yeah.
You've lost a bunch of weight. You just decided to turn it into anxiety.
Yeah. I feel like I don't feel successful and I feel like it's never enough. This is the hard thing.
I'm going to give you a hard, hard assignment.
Okay.
No weight loss for you for 3 months. Because right now you have it in your brain that this will go away if you lose 8 more pounds. Mm-hmm. How much have you lost? 30?
35 at least.
If 35 pounds hasn't made you feel better, why do you think 8 more will? It's 35 pounds ago, if I had said, hey, Yvette, you're going to lose 35 pounds and you're going to feel anxious and shitty about it, what would you have told me?
I don't believe you. I would think that I would feel good, you know, after being at that weight.
Exactly. So yeah. 8 more pounds is not going to make you feel better right now. The only thing that's going to make Yvette feel better is to think differently about Yvette.
Mm.
This is a hard lesson, but like seriously, sometimes the best thing we can do for ourselves is to stop trying to lose weight for a little bit, truly maintain on purpose while we like learn to be in this body, to appreciate this version of it, to talk about what we do right more than what we're afraid we're going to stop doing.
Okay.
Like we need to do that and practice that for a little bit. And then from that version of you, the one who is like, I've got this, like, I actually like me. And if I want to lose more weight, I'm not going to lose it because I need to look like everybody else. Everybody else is fitter. We don't want to lose from anxiety because otherwise you'll lose 8 more pounds and then this will be you, Yvette. And I promise you it'll be you. You'll lose 8 pounds and you'll be like, okay, I did that. I hope the fuck I can keep this up.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only way you're going to be able to get there from anxiety is to do very anxious things.
Yeah. Yeah. And I could be reaching, you know, 140, which is what I want to do right now. And then, you know, and then I will think, start to think, okay, I can do another 5 pounds lighter. I can do another 5 pounds. And it's just never ending. So I would like to learn to be happy with my current weight. And I think the 3 months of not losing anything, I think it's fine. I think it's a great challenge, but I also don't want to gain anything. So I still need to keep doing the things that I have been doing.
Right. Like when we go into maintenance, we don't stop doing our basics.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The only way you'll gain weight is if you start eating, because like you're sitting around going like, well, if I'm not going to lose weight, I guess I'm hopeless. Like I want you to think about this. If it's been a while since you haven't lost weight, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Mm-hmm. Now let's just do exactly what you're doing without telling yourself you suck at it or that you're going to gain weight. Like, let's just keep doing the same behaviors, but let's talk differently to ourselves. Like say, okay, I'm going to continue to plan, mm-hmm, because I'm the kind of person who makes decisions for my food each day because it's good for me. Like, I'm going to continue to only wait for hunger because that's just normal eating. I'm going to eat until enough. Because that's just what people do to sustain weight loss, rather than I need to stop right now, otherwise I'll gain weight. We mm-hmm have to change all that languaging, and you've got to actually start talking differently about all of it. And that is what's going to take the anxiety down. And then when you do that, then, like, if you ever want to drop a couple, like maybe you want to, rather than trying to lose 8, maybe you'll give yourself a goal of like, I just want to lose 2 pounds over like 6 weeks.
Okay.
By just making small changes. But I do not want you doing that until you have sat with yourself and taken the anxiety down. So, and if you want to continue taking the classes and stuff, I don't want you doing it because you're like, I need more information. Or
yeah, I mean, I really like the classes and the programs. And I, you know, there was a time that I actually signed off of NoBS and I joined again because I like to listen to everything that you do on this. And it does. But what I find is that it's also a way for me to make me feel less anxious.
It's not that it makes you feel like, this is the thing, when you're listening, that's not making you feel less anxious. What it's doing is it's quieting your anxious voices. Mm-hmm. So I want you to think about this when you're listening, when you feel less anxious, what is it that Corinne is saying that allows me to relax right now? You may be thinking things like, that makes sense, or, This is like, oh, that's such a good idea. Then you take those same thoughts that you're having when you have the less anxiety, you put that into when you're not listening. So if you're making your plan, you look at it and you're like, okay, this plan makes sense today.
Okay.
You look at like when you're eating, when you're getting ready to eat and you know, like this is a good amount of food for you. So like, that's doable. This is like, take the temperature down on the conversations. That's always what's driving the anxiety. It's always the conversations that you're having around everything. And that's, I think, what's stirring you up. The maintenance course is releasing next month. You're the second person today I've talked about this. You are also, even though I know you're not at your final destination, the maintenance course will be really good for people who are closing in on maintenance, who are already needing to start getting into the maintenance mindset and some of the calm thinking. So like right now, you want to start breaking the habit of your dieter mindset. And I think that's what's happening. I'm watching this pattern materialize with y'all, and it's probably going to get added to this damn course, which is, in the beginning, you get so much relief. Like, my stuff makes sense. Like, all of a sudden, you have all these great, luscious thoughts. Like, this makes sense. like, I can do this. This is working. Like, those things start in the beginning. Then you get down to the near to the end. And then you have this other mindset come into play again. It's like, we're almost there. We're almost there. I bet this is the part that gets hard. And then we start worrying. It's like, oh my God, who am I going to be if I'm not dieting all the time? Your brain starts freaking out. Am I going to be able to keep this weight off?
Yeah.
Or, and that's what we're going to be talking about in the maintenance course, is settling that. So I think when it comes out in July, you definitely need to take it. You should go to the calls for the maintenance group. You should go ahead and join the maintenance group. Hey, Yesenia, make a note for Yasmin that we are going to encourage that if you have, even though I've already shot the intro video, we're going to encourage people with, like, who are closing in on maintenance to go ahead and start taking that course. I think it's actually in the intro. Go ahead, Yvette.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I was very excited to hear there's a maintenance course coming out, because yes, it requires quite a different mind shift. Otherwise, you will be really anxious, and you will always wonder, okay, am I at the weight that's enough, or should I lose a little bit more? You know, for various reasons, to impress people or to, you know, make myself or prove to myself. I think I'm trying to prove to myself that I can do hard things, even though I have already done a lot of hard things in this journey. So I'll kind of reflect and replay this call, and really just to implement what you just told me about.
Yeah. Just keep in mind, like, the one thing I just want you paying attention to so much is start really listening in to how you are speaking around the things that you're doing, and then be like, just be curious about it. I don't want you beating yourself up for hard thinking. And that's because I know that's what has to be happening in order for you to feel so anxious, is to have like hard thinking. Like, I really should keep taking courses. I really should do this. I really should do this. Yeah. Like, that's the only way I'm going to look like everybody else. Listen for that. And then do not judge yourself for it. Just say, that's normal. Like, that's like just what my brain is offering up right now. And that's okay. And then I want you to just like breathe and say, like, where can I talk about this a little bit easier?
Okay.
Yeah. And then all the other stuff that I talked about, just, you know, when you listen to things and you feel less anxious, how am I thinking when I'm listening? Because that's the thinking. It's like, now, where can I take that I already naturally have, and where can I put it into play on purpose around the things that I'm doing?
Okay. Okay, sounds good.
All right. Thank you for raising your hand again. It's good seeing you. Yes, I'm never going to forget you, Yvette.
Yes. Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Bye. She's so sweet. Oh, I just don't forget people. Susie has a question. Susie, I'm going to answer it. And then if you still want to get coached, but I think I can answer this pretty easy. In case I don't get called on, want coaching on how to have chips around or not. I don't buy them because then I overeat them, emotionally. But then when I encounter them outside the home in situations where I don't expect them, it's me being, I never get to have them. How do you work on this? Quite simply, number one, I think you need to give yourself credit, first of all, for like saying, I know that chips are a trigger for me, and I'm just not going to put myself in harm's way on this one. I just think that's smart of you, Susie. Number one, you don't have to practice them there. But you can definitely not keep them in the house for a while and say, this is really smart of me. I may not be ready yet to work on them. So what I'm going to do is work on other things. I'm just going to not have chips. This is not restrictive. This is not me being a weirdo around food and stuff. This is me having my back. I don't want to right now do the work of like having to say no to chips when I can easily not have them and just work on my emotional shit. Such a faster way to work on my emotions. So there's number one. Then you just prep yourself for when you're out in public and you're going to see chips. You just need a protocol and a game plan. You just need to say, like, when I see chips out in the, you know, the world, roaming the, you know, the prairie, whatever's happening with these chips. Here's what my brain is always going to tell me about chips. It's always going to say, I never get to have them. And that's not even true. The real truth is that I don't choose to keep chips in the house because I know myself and I'm taking care of myself. It's not that I never get to have them. The moment that I want to start working on chips, I can go buy me a bag any fucking time I want. You have to change the conversation you're having around all of it, because it's not even true that you never get to have them. You could have them anytime you want. You're just choosing to put your emotions and your goals ahead of a bag of chips right now. That's not called restriction. Restriction would be you can't have chips. They're bad for you. You always overeat them. And so you take them away as if it's the chips' fault or that they have some power over you. Chips have no power. Even if you decide not to keep them, it's not because chips are the all-powerful Oz. If you don't keep them in the house, it's because Susie is the all-powerful Oz who has decided to make a decision for herself, not against herself. Y'all, we do not always, like, I think if you're going to keep foods, that's great. Love your reasons for it. If you're not going to keep foods, that's great. Love your reasons for it. It's all about what's going on in your brain as to why you make your decisions. All right. Erica? Chips do not have a mouth, Mickey. Last time I checked, ain't no bag of Ruffles thrown on some lips and started talking. Y'all crack me up. Are you in the hospital?
I am.
Oh, my gosh. This is what's crazy. This is not even the first time I've coached someone from a hospital bed. Y'all are some diehards.
No, you had somebody at camp once, I think.
I coached people several times who have called in from hospital rooms and stuff. Yeah, yeah. So what are you got going on?
So I was diagnosed with breast cancer back in February. And basically the first step in my treatment plan, because of the type of breast cancer it was and the size of the tumor, was to have a mastectomy.
Okay.
And I chose to have the mastectomy and reconstruction at the same time from my own tummy tissue. And today's like the first day that I would have been eligible to be released from the hospital, but I still have like one thing in me. I won't get too gross about it, but they put drains and
I'm familiar with drains. My mother had to strip several of mine in my years of plastic surgeries.
Yeah. And I'm just really struggling today with what if they come, they're going to come at midnight and empty it and check the volume. And I'm just struggling with what if there's still too much? What if that one can't come out tomorrow and that I don't get to go home.
So what if that does happen? Because it's very emotional for you. What are you making it mean that you may have to stay another day or two?
I knew I was going to do summer reset from the hospital because I knew I would still be in on Saturday. And I did that. I was really proud of myself there, but I just haven't been. I just feel like the way I've been showing up the whole time I've been here is not the way I really planned. I just feel like being here, my thought work is not unlocked. My shitty thoughts are running out of control.
All right. First of all, Erica, if the definition of being a good no BS woman is that your thought work needs to be unlocked, then I need to just shut the doors. Because mine's not on lock, and I teach all y'all how to do this. I mean, I spent an entire week crying about my fucking high school reunion.
Yeah.
I work not on lock. You know, like, that's a myth. That's one of those unicorns that prances through a field. But let me ask you this. So what if it hasn't gone as planned? That doesn't mean that it's bad. It just means it hasn't gone as planned. It sounds, if I had to guess, you had plans. Definitely all this has changed all of that. But God, you came to the summer reset and a coaching call from your hospital bed?
Yeah. Yeah. I cut my coaching appointment with Judith on Thursday too.
If this isn't good enough, then how should you be showing up?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just so frustrated with being in here. I just want to be home with my family. And they're taking really great care of me. I don't want anybody to think that, you know, it's not about great care or anything like
that. No, I get that. But this is what I want to highlight. You just told yourself the truth and you absolutely relaxed. Like, the lie is that it hasn't gone as planned. That means that, you know, like, whatever you're making that mean, either I'm not good enough or it should be better, or I would be doing these things if it, like, all that. That's a lie that your brain is distracting you from just sitting and saying, I just don't want to be here. And just being honest with yourself, like, there's nothing wrong with just not wanting to be here. And sometimes that sucks.
Yeah. I think that's it. I just don't want to be here. And so my brain's going to, you know, that it's not going to come out tomorrow. I'm not going to get home. You know, it's going to that worst case scenario.
What if you just, like, so there's a couple of ways to always attack worst case scenarios. One is just head on. Worst case scenario, I don't get to go home. I sit here for another 24 hours wanting to go home. I mean, that's probably the worst case scenario. I mean, are your bills not going to get paid? Is somebody fixing to not get, I mean, is there something, like, actually dangerous about you having to be in the hospital for another day?
I mean, probably not. My son is 9, and, like, on, must have been Thursday, he actually got so upset that he literally ran away from the school, and the school had to call the police, and, like, my husband had been here visiting me, so he couldn't get there really quickly.
Okay.
They had to call, like, our emergency contacts, and, like, it was a whole thing. I mean, they didn't mind at all. You know, they were just like, yeah, like, you know, this is what we do for people. It's what needs to be done. But, you know, part of me is like, you know, he won't be relaxed. He won't be able to calm down and be less anxious until I get home. So I am, like, part of it is that I am, where, I mean, I don't think he'd actually, like, he got suspended for running away from school. So he's not, that's not going to happen again tomorrow. I don't think he'd actually run away from home. But
do you think he probably also learned a lesson? I mean, did your husband talk to him about how, like, hey, you're going to have to just stay home, and or he's like, I'm going to leave the door wide open and you'd have to decide, 9-year-old, what you're going to do with yourself.
That's true. Yeah. They're pretty much like, his teacher this year is awesome. Like, she sent books home and work. So he's still, like, doing school, you know, he's not, like, he is having a consequence from
this
it. He's not,
is
like, ooh, right, 3 days.
This
off
is the
school.
Part of the story you need to tell your brain. At the crux of all of it is you're just scared. You're going through surgery, and, like, now your brain is, like, fearful. Like, this is not going as planned. And so now it's looking for all the reasons why this really sucks. And what you want to do is, this is where we go back to that 4N cycle. Notice what your brain is telling you. Like, my brain is saying, you know, like, my son is in danger. Like, or no, my brain is saying he's going to be anxious and can't calm down until I get home. Well, that would be pretty normal. Mamas worry about their babies. This is where you are going to not make yourself anxious about his anxiety.
Yeah.
It's very normal for a mama when she can't take care of her cub to have a lot of thoughts about what, you know, like every worst case scenario the cub can go through. And then you just neutralize it. And you do that by telling the story of, like, the teacher is sending homework. Yeah, this is like, he ran away, but everything turned out okay. My husband has talked to him. He has his consequences. Like, you bring it back to what's really happening right now, not what could be happening. It feels productive in our brain to do that, but there's no productivity happening.
Yes.
Like, nothing changes if you do that, except for your emotional state. So if the only thing that can change is your emotional state, then we want to be very deliberate about how we wrangle our thoughts back in over and over again. And then you go to that, like, we neutralize it. And then we go to the next best thought, which is, the next best thing that I can do is just anticipate that I'm getting out. The worst case scenario, the real worst case scenario, is I don't, and I'm disappointed, and I need to lay in my bed tomorrow doing thought work all over again.
Yes. And binge stalls and plateaus.
And binge stalls. Binge some of that shit Corinne puts out.
That's great. Not that, but I'm waiting, you know, this month. I'm not.
But just allowing yourself to calm yourself, knowing that, like, what else am I supposed to be doing late? Like, if there's any time our brain is going to run wild, it is while we're laying in a hospital bed, because so little is in our actual control right now. And when very little is in our control, our brain freaks out. That's when we have to remind ourselves what is truly happening and what is actually in our control.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely it. Cause there's, like, literally nothing I can do to, like, my body just has to, you know, get rid of, just get to the point where it's not sending stuff to that. They did tell me to, like, walk a little bit less today. I walked a lot yesterday, because I think I was anxious and I was like, oh my God, walking up and down the hallway is the most fucking exciting thing I can do today.
The one thing that is in your control is probably you'll drain better if you're not trying to drain with anxiety. You know, like, your body has a visceral response when you are anxious. Muscles tighten, heart races more. Like, your body has to work harder through anxiety. And so, like, eat late. And if you're now, like, saying, like, all right, the best way I can cope with anxiety, because, you know, like, you know, there's no, you know, chip pantry, like everybody, like, right. Susie didn't bring you chips. So if there's none of that, like, now you're just binging on worries. And so the best way for you to make tomorrow, possibly a day that you get to go home at midnight, is to today do your thought work. Remind yourself of what's in your control. Remind yourself, what's the best ways that I can help myself? How, like, in when I'm worst case scenario, and just like you, so I got time on my hands. I guess I'll get a journal one more time and tell myself what's really happening, why this is going to be, like, not near as bad as I'm imagining. And then just telling yourself, like, I understand, brain, you are just scared. When our brains are scared and we don't know what's in our control and we're uncertain, that is like a Jägermeister that's not chilled going down hard. Like, it is a painful shot of shit coming down. So just be compassionate with yourself.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Keep us posted. If you get a chance when you get out of the hospital, let us know you're out of the hospital. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, right. Will do. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Where can I learn the four basics are the like water, sleep. Yvette, I think you might mean the four N's, not the four basics. Yesenia will connect you. The four N's are taught in a lot of places right now. I have included them in, I believe they're now in Stalls and Plateaus. They will be in maintenance. I might have introduced them again in Conquering the Scale. I'm not 100% sure, but we also have a few resources where I've taught them inside of No BS in the video replays. I think if you type in the search that type in like four N's, I believe it will come up. But if you have any problems finding it, just if you're in Facebook, ask our Facebook team. Here's one. It's if you go to pnptribe.com/quick-hits-with-Corinne, CORINNE-the-4-NS, Yesenia, tell the team that quick hit needs to be named something easy to find. Just let them know that when we're going to have a frequent resource like that, we don't want something that I have to spell that sounds like a shithead. All right. Let's do one more. Lisa Mello. Is it true that any food that is eaten past full is not good? It's not. You don't want to eat past full. It doesn't make the food bad. It's like, it's not useful to eat past full to lose weight or to maintain your weight. So it has nothing to do with the food. It has everything to do with, we do not want to eat past full, because if you eat past full, that means you are eating more than your body needs in order for health, function, survival, comfort, all the things. All right, Lisa. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Sorry, my hands were shaking earlier.
That's okay.
Yeah, no, I have a torn meniscus and I teach on the second floor. So last half of this year has been hell. So I'm going into surgery in 18 days. And that'll be my first time in surgery. But I also am just now basically rebooting myself. My year in this year was so crazy that, you know, other teachers and administration would check in on me frequently with, how are you doing? I know you have a difficult class. And it was one of those classes that you never pray to God for patience, because God will give you something to be patient about. And I didn't pray, but I got it anyway. So I wrote my first 24-hour plan today.
Are you new? So that's,
no, I'm not.
Okay. All right. So you've never done a 24-hour plan?
No, not this year. I got a whole month in about 3 months ago.
Okay.
And just with the craziness with what I'm doing with school, was just, I come home and I'm physically exhausted. I'm so exhausted that my cats let me sleep in until 10 o'clock yesterday. Okay. So I'm rambling. That's and I'm okay. Not normally a rambler.
No, let me help you. So what do you think your problem is? Like, what do you want to solve?
I want to be back where I was. I joined in, was it 21? I joined in 21, March of 21. And I want to be back there.
But we can't go back in time. I don't have a
time. I know, but I was like so on top of everything.
So tell me what did you like about yourself in March of 2021?
I was working remotely.
What did you like about yourself that I can actually help you with?
Okay, so
I can't change your work situation.
I want to be a hermit. I was writing and assessing my plans daily.
Okay. Daily plans. All right.
I was getting 32 plus ounces of water in. I didn't restrict anything, which was, you know, coming from a Weight Watcher background where everything was no, I was playing with the idea of yes. So if I wanted hot Cheetos, I actually had them in my house and they weren't a problem. And I assigned that for my, you know, hey, you can have hot Cheetos with your lunch.
And so you would put those on your plan.
So I put them on my plan and okay. I did really well with that. And the beginning of this year, I was bringing my lunch to school and then I just got to the point where I was too exhausted and I would just get school lunch. But I want this year coming to be a bring my lunch to school.
Okay. So tell me why you want to bring your lunch to school.
Because what I would bring to school would be a healthier option to what school has to offer. Okay. Even though I do go through, like, my school does have fresh fruits and vegetables. And I always go through and I'm like, oh, yay, fresh tomatoes. And I'll throw a whole bunch of those. And whatever the fresh fruits or vegetables are, I get those. But generally, the entrees are not the best.
Like you don't like the taste of them?
Well, no, they're just high caloric. I mean, I don't want to sound diety, but they're so like,
it's in conflict with what you're telling me. Like you're having restrictive thoughts around lunch at school. You're making the lunches at school like a bad guy when they're not.
I am.
It's just lunch at school and like, not a problem. You could lose weight eating those. You could also lose weight bringing your lunch. You just have to decide like that you can lose weight either way. Like it sounds, this is what it sounds to me. It sounds to me that if you are tired and stressed, you throw everything out.
This is true.
Okay. So we need to solve two things. Number one, we have to make this not seem tiring and exhausting. We have to make this seem compassionate and a part of your life that helps you when you are tired and exhausted. Because right now, here's the thought. This is work.
This is true.
Rather than when I make doable plans that include foods that I love, it allows me to not have to overthink food. It allows me to not have to worry about my weight. It allows me to have more energy for these kids. It allows me to do all kinds of things. When I plan foods without restriction, including whether I bring my lunch to school or not, when I don't think about restriction, I don't feel angst, anxiety, difficulty, hard. When I think about like, it does not matter the foods. What matters is, am I hungry? Mm-hmm. Am I stopping at enough?
This is true.
And I have a feeling right now, you can lose a lot of weight by just making plans where they feel easy. I think you need to put more ease back into your life.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I agree 1,000-fold.
So how can we think about this? Because at one point there was a version of you that loved this, and there's a version of you that wants this again. And why do you want it? How did you feel when you were doing this?
I felt amazing. I felt empowered. I felt, because I have put some of my weight back on, I felt with that weight loss, weight off, I felt easy and free to move.
So what we could do is we could separate out like work life from food life. And what you could tell yourself is like, I may not be able to have control over those little shits at school.
They're gone. They're fifth graders. I never have to see them again.
That's right. I may not have control over that. But if what I really want is to feel empowered in my life and where I want to feel in control and where I want to feel ease and stuff, this is where I get to do it. Because I may not be able to easily do that when I'm teaching. So yeah. I need to have it someplace in my life, and I choose to have it here first.
Yes, thank you. It's thank you. My therapist doesn't understand these concepts because she deals with her own weight issues. Mm-hmm. And so being able to come here and have this conversation with you is phenomenal. And you are so accurate in putting things right on track and pinpointing. And I appreciate that.
Do me a favor.
Yes.
Like when this call releases, it'll release on Tuesday. I want you to listen to it a few times over the next few weeks so that it'll kind of keep you on track on thinking about ease being here. And like, this is how I care for myself. This is how I reduce some of the fatigue so that I don't have to be thinking like I can't do anything in my life. Like here, I get to do something for me that no one can take away from me. I want you to kind of stay in that mindset. And then you're out for the summer.
I am out for the summer. We go back to the beginning of August.
Then let's use the summer. Like, I want you to rest. I want you to work on your mind. Like, I want you to spend that, like, do these basic things. I promise you, Lisa, if you just do these, like, seriously, make a non-restrictive plan every day, wait for a little hunger, stop it enough, and spend the summer taking care of yourself. And when I say take, this is the way you got to take care of yourself in a way that you won't go to the fall thinking, okay, it's all screwed because school's back. You need to learn how to take care of yourself mentally in a way that allows you to go back to school feeling empowered and ready, because you could do this whether you're in school or not.
Yes.
You can do this whether you're tired or not. And that's like, for, I think that's going to be key for you, because you might get another little shitty class. Who knows? We never know.
All I know is that I get to go back to third grade. I don't have to teach fifth grade next year.
Well, maybe the third graders will be better and we won't even have to deal with it. But I do want you to do this. I want you to think about, like, how can I, like, change how I talk about myself all summer long? How can I believe in myself more? How can I think about when I go back to school? How can I look forward to it? How can I think of ways that I won't come home so tired every night? Things like that, to set yourself up for success when you go back to school.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I'll do that.
Oh, you Thank got a you. Kitty back there. How many cats do you have? You said your cats let you sleep.
I have two orange boys.
And I love cats. You know I me. Love I love my babies. Too. Like,
oh, yeah. They are just so loving. I love them to death.
You know, kitties are sweet. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Right. Bye.
Bye. All right, everybody, we're going to get out of here. I promised, because I did not get to see my son at all yesterday. He like never asked to go out to eat with us. He's not much to want to go out, but he was like, can I just, and of course we're traveling all the time. He's like, can I just go out to eat with y'all, please, tomorrow night, please? I said, yes, we can go out to eat. So I'm going to take him to an early dinner. I will go live real quick inside the membership on my phone, announce those winners. And y'all, it's been a great week here at No BS. I will see everybody Wednesday for Q&A. Bye, y'all.